Free at last! Free at last!
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Zach Goodall. Throw me a follow on Twitter, at Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton, who is with me today. You can find him at Misto Christopho. And if you don't understand the reference that I made right there with the whole free at last thing, then one, you didn't pay much attention to Martin Luther King when you were a student or growing up in his era. And two, you also didn't watch The Office. And three, you don't know what Le'Veon Bell tweeted today, but that is what he, you know, used his Twitter fingers for the second the news broke that the Steelers will not be placing any form of tag on him this offseason. He is, as he said,
free at last.
The GM of the Steelers, Kevin Colbert, said he's still a great player, but we're just not going to spend another tag on him, despite the rumors or idea that they might, and try and match any offer a team makes to him if they use a transition tag. It's just not going to happen. His time in Pittsburgh is officially over. And you know what that means, Chris?
That means another top-tier free agent hits the market.
That means his time in Jacksonville is coming.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true. I'm just being
just spitballing here.
Just spitballing here, because a couple weeks ago I wrote that the Jaguars should pursue soon-to-be free agent running back Le'Veon Bell in free agency. I know it sounds like Madden. That obviously is what we all like to do in the offseason, is put on our Madden caps. But at the same time, if they were to pursue him, they could move on from a guy that they've got a real rocky relationship, it seems, with in Leonard Fournette. They said they have cleared the air in that report of a meeting that he came and met with the coaches, Tom Coughlin. But how can you really mend a relationship like that, where you strip all of his guaranteed money, make him earn every dime that he has on his contract, rather than it all being guaranteed to hit his bank account? So, in which case, you can move on from that and get a guy in Le'Veon Bell who, when he's been on the field for the Steelers, obviously that was over a year ago, but regardless, not only was he one of the best pure running backs in the NFL, you could statistically say that he was one of the, I don't know, top 10, top 15 receivers in the NFL in terms of receptions. So he's obviously a guy that you can utilize in so many different ways, a complete weapon, a complete package at running back. And like, yeah, he might be expensive, but if you're going to pay a bunch of money for Nick Foles, why not pay significantly less for Le'Veon Bell to fix the problem that you have with Leonard Fournette and then draft a quarterback, a guy that ultimately could be and probably will be more talented than Nick Foles would be here, and it'd be a lot less crippling.
Imagine an offense where you have Dwayne Haskins at quarterback, Le'Veon Bell at running back, Dede Westbrook, your emerging star, at wide receiver, all under the helm and guidance of John DeFilippo. That sounds like a good offense to me.
I think that sounds really great too. And I mean, I really do. So with Le'Veon, like, I get it. He's going to be expensive. He wants guaranteed money. That's what he's saying. Well, we talked the other day about how the Jaguars can create how much cap space?
They can get to about $47 million above the cap.
They could do that without losing much talent when it's all said and done. Or necessary talent, I should say.
Do you want to know why?
Why is that?
Because the salary cap is fake.
Because the salary cap is fake. And in return, they can get a running back who, yes, he's had six seasons in the NFL. He's played in five of them. One of them was a bit hampered by injuries, but that was 2015 before he really emerged as like the best running back in the NFL in 2016, 2017 range, where he just put up fantastic production. So his injury history does not scare me that much. And in reality, he's entering his seventh season and has only played 62 games. And one of them comes from sitting out a year. So it's not like he put on a bunch of wear and tear, was dealing with a big injury at that point. So for a guy that's, you know, a little bit older compared to some other running backs, he's not got a ton of mileage on him. And I mean, if you're front loading the contract and getting that money out of the way pretty early, which is how I assume they would do it, because they'll be able to add cap over time to make it less of a, you know, a crippling hit over time. But right now they'd be able to afford it. I think that that would probably be a smart way to go about it and give him his guarantees and bring him in. He'd be a rookie quarterback's number one weapon out the gate and for a long time. And it's rare to come across a weapon like him that contributes in so many different ways so effectively like he does.
And I think that's the biggest thing that people kind of forget about Le'Veon Bell is there's that big contingency of people that say don't pay running backs. And to a certain extent, I agree. But the thing about Le'Veon is you're not just paying a running back, you're paying a receiver. You're paying a guy that, with the ball in his hands, whether it's running or you're dumping it off to him, will make plays happen. And I think that's the biggest thing when thinking about Le'Veon Bell is, yes, you're probably going to be paying him top running back money, but you're also probably getting a top receiver in it as well. Maybe not, you know, your usual receiver, how you think about out wide, but you do these dump passes, and I'm sure DeFilippo would have an absolute field day having a guy like Le'Veon Bell in his offense. Could you imagine just, I don't know, the jet sweeps and stuff with Didi and Le'Veon and how
and DJ Chark.
And DJ Chark, who will be emerging. Could you imagine game planning as an opposing defense against an offense like that?
Where exactly. That's my thing. It's so versatile.
With the offensive line hopefully coming back healthy with new pieces, and they'll probably be a great unit again like they were when they were healthy. So you have a great O-line. You would hopefully have a rookie quarterback that has a very high ceiling in Dwayne Haskins. And then you have Dede Westbrook, DJ Chark, and Le'Veon Bell in the backfield. A defense is going to have to be very strict if they want to be able to contain an offense like that. At least on paper, they would have to be.
And that's where I've said all along, because people love to say, wow, this team fell apart and now they're like in a rebuild again. Like, as long as they approach this offseason the right way, the smartest way financially, add the right talent, don't double down on certain things, like, they can get back to things pretty quickly. And I believe that Haskins is good enough to start immediately and win some games. There would be growing pains. He won't win you a bunch of games single-handedly. But the more you build around him, the quicker he's going to develop, the more he'll win immediately, and the more he'll win down the line. And you give him just a great, great weapon in Le'Veon Bell. That's a fantastic start. People forget about the offensive line. Like you said, when it's healthy, it's a really great unit. It's one that allowed 18 sacks to Bortles in 2017, and it got better for at left guard with Andrew Norwell. So when they're healthy, they're a great unit. And also Le'Veon Bell can pass protect. So you're just getting even more protection right back there for your young quarterback and a fantastic weapon that it's essentially plays two positions for the price of one and substantially cheaper than going and paying a quarterback who's 30 years old and has always been inconsistent. I don't know. Like, this dream situation, I think it's probably not likely, but it's one that would make a ton of sense to me if you're trying to build around a young quarterback. When we come back, we're going to talk about why it wouldn't make that much sense before, in our third segment, we'll give our final opinions on what we think should happen, or if the Jaguars should go after Le'Veon Bell. So obviously, like, we love to talk about what Le'Veon Bell can do and that we're believers in his talent. And yeah, sure, like, he can be a bit of a, you know, drama queen, if you can't tell from his past year, missing football, controversial comments about what's been going on with his situation, stuff like that, seeming stubborn, putting himself above the team. But you got to think, like, he gets paid and he's going to go back to being just the player, right?
I think that now this might still sound positive, but even though we're supposed to be negative.
Well, you're good. You can do this, because then we're going to talk about what it would take to get him to that point.
That's fair. Okay, so obviously you have those red flags coming in. You know, missing a year of football. He's probably still in great football shape, but, you know, that's always just a red flag that you have.
No one should buy the Monish Mehta 260-pound report that was out there today.
That was a report? Saying
he blowed it up. Yeah, it was from Mehta blowing it up, because he's the least credible reporter in the NFL other than Jason Lockenfora. Never trust a thing he says. Continue.
Yeah, so, okay, anyway, aside from that, I didn't even hear that, so I guess that's how irrelevant he really is. you have the suspension red flags, which is always something. I'm sure any contract they give him would be, they would probably try to throw as many clauses as they can into probably null guaranteed money or whatnot, even though I don't, you might not be able to do that because it's guaranteed, but is it really guaranteed? Mm-hmm. Air quotes. So those are probably your biggest, the biggest red flags, at least for me, is the off the field stuff. Like he had, I think it was a Snapchat video or an Instagram video a few days ago where he was like, it was showing him, I think he just got a victory royale on Fortnite, and in the corner you can blatantly see a stack of rolling paper. So with his past with drug tests and stuff, that's obviously something you don't want to see. But a lot of people think he intentionally put that there just to kind of piss people off. So those are starting off, at least with this segment, that's what my biggest red flags would be in being hesitant to giving him the money.
And I get that. At the same time, Dante Fowler posted a literal video of him smoking on his Instagram story one time, and he was never suspended for that. He was suspended for other things. But,
like throwing guys groceries in a leak.
I mean, I'm sure there's so many – I mean, I wouldn't know this, but I'm sure there's a lot of NFL players out there that do smoke and just find a way to hide it. And the thing with Le'Veon is technically he's not under contract, so he's not subject to drug tests by the NFL as things stand. So I'm sure that he will get that out of his system and won't be doing that by the time he's ready to sign a contract. So I don't know. I don't really understand how that would work, but – as of right now, since he's not under contract, that's something I think that he can do and get away with, but not a great look. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, and as a franchise that's, well, that is, I want to say the Jaguars are strict, because, or at least this past year they were, because I think we all know that the past regimes of the Jaguars would have let all this Fournette stuff just kind of go by, nothing would have happened, and that was the problem with the locker room. So now you kind of have a backbone now in the locker room and in the coaching staff. So I would like to think that if Le'Veon came here, it would be great, because I think he just wants to stick his middle finger up to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Most, I think that's probably his biggest goal, is wherever he goes is to just be an absolute powerhouse of a player wherever he goes, and especially between the Jaguars and Steelers. I think that might be even a better landing choice for him personally, because if we were to ever meet in the playoffs again, nothing would probably make Le'Veon happier than scoring a few touchdowns against the Steelers organization in Pittsburgh to give the Jaguars another playoff win at Heinz Field.
But it will cost a lot of money. Yes. And that's what I said didn't bother me too much in the last segment, because I'd rather give him that than pay $10 million more a year for Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he'd become the highest paid running back in the NFL, and the Jaguars would not be saving money from moving on from Leonard Fournette. They can from a lot of other guys, but essentially they're paying, you know, the most expensive running back in the NFL, as well as formerly known as the highest guaranteed running back in the NFL in Leonard Fournette's deal. So definitely logic against it from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're going by Todd Gurley numbers, because he's set the bar for what running backs want, Gurley got, what was it? What was his deal? 4 years, 57.5 with 45 guaranteed. So
yeah, 45 guaranteed is freaking huge. Mm-hmm,
especially for a running back. And Le'Veon's probably going to want more than that, because he wants receiver money as well. Kind of, you know, type thing. So,
right.
It's going to be really expensive to get Le'Veon. However, can they afford him? Yes.
Because if you listen to our podcast about the cap space, you'd know that they definitely can.
Because looking at the per year breakdown of Todd Gurley's contract, 7.2 mil per year, 9.2. It jumps up in 2020 to 17.2 and then trends down the rest of the contract to 13, back up to 14, and then down to 11. So the Jaguars are masterminds when it comes to structuring contracts. So in that regard, I wouldn't be too worried, especially if they do have this $40 or $50 million in, you know, money this year, if they go with our master cap crushing plan. That's something that I think is a very real possibility, and I think they could get it done if they really wanted to.
When we come back, we're going to discuss, you know, our final thoughts. Should the Jaguars attempt to sign Le'Veon Bell? Today's episode of Locked On Jaguars is brought to you by A1 Sliders. Are you one of hundreds of coastal Northeast Florida homeowners who struggle every day to open and close your sliding glass door? Why spend all the money it takes to replace your sliding glass door when Tony and the gang at A1 Sliders could save you money and repair your door for you? A1 Sliders is licensed and insured. They offer free estimates, upfront pricing, and will help you save on heating and cooling costs in your home from leaky sliding glass doors. And at A1, your schedule comes first. A1 Sliders is a fan of the Locked On Jaguars podcast, and in partnering with us, they will give you $25 off of any repair you order, no limit. Just mention Locked On Jaguars before getting your repairs done. Call A1 Sliders now for your free sliding glass door repair estimate at 386-538-6835. Or check out their website at www.a1sliders.com. That's 386-538-6835 and www.a1sliders.com. And don't forget to mention Locked On Jaguars for $25 off of any repair you order. A1 Sliders, licensed and insured, LLC, covers the Jacksonville area from Fernandina Beach through North Smyrna Beach, based out of Palm Coast, Florida. Contact for more details on location and any questions you may have. So, we obviously both think like that would be great if they did, but let's assume that Le'Veon Bell gets the market that he is expecting, where teams that have just endless amounts of cap space, the Colts, the Jets, Houston, teams like that, start driving his market up. Do you think that the Jaguars would stay persistent in it if they called it first, or do you think that it'd be more likely if they balked? And if you were the GM, how would you handle that?
Well, it's going to be tough if you get in a bidding war with the Colts and Jets, because they basically just have Brinks trucks of money ready to go. The Colts are at like 100 and I think 107 mil, in which I've done this so many times. The Colts could give Le'Veon Bell Todd Gurley's contract 100% guaranteed and still have like 50 mil left over.
Jesus.
And literally just pay it all this year and not even have to worry about it like the next 3 years if they wanted to.
That's insane.
Not a smart idea, but they could do that. They could take over Antonio Brown's contract, I think, pay it all off, and then keep going. So the Colts have a ridiculous amount of money. And it'd be interesting to see if Ballard wanted to go that route, but if he wanted to, he certainly has the money. If Le'Veon is only looking at money, which you can't even say with the Colts now, you can't even throw out the they're not a contender anymore, because with Luck back and the way the Colts looked last year, throw Le'Veon Bell on that team and you have a very strong AFC Super Bowl contender, in my opinion. They can shore up some things on the defense in the draft, because I think they have like 11 picks or something like that. I think 3 or 4 in the first 2 or 3 rounds. So getting in a bidding war with the Colts would be very bad, because they have the money and now they kind of have the program turned around really quickly with a pretty good O-line in the making. So bidding war with them would not be good. The Jets, same situation. However, I don't think the Jets are as close at all to competing anytime soon. So I think the Colts would definitely be the front runner if they were to tip their hat in. And I would like to say that the Jaguars, if you're thinking about going after Le'Veon Bell, you have to know that's going to be expensive. So I'm sure if they were serious about putting their hat in the ring for Le'Veon Bell, they would probably have a pretty high number that they would go to before backing out. So what that number is, I'm not sure. I'm sure the base of it is probably Todd Gurley money, with probably depending on how far you want to go in each direction. If they think he is the missing piece, because they thought Leonard Fournette was the guy. It's not looking like he's the guy. So if John DeFilippo is like pounding his hand on his hand on the table and is like, give me Le'Veon, I'll get you a ring, then I'm sure they would be very inclined to throw a lot of money at Le'Veon Bell.
Would you give him 5 years, 75 with 45 guaranteed?
5, 7, 5.
That's 15 flat a year. Assume they front load it. Give him like 18 this offseason, 18 to 20.
And
assuming
what,
that they
would be able to get out of the contract early on?
Probably after year three.
If you're front loading it, then all the guaranteed so dead money is probably going to be early.
It's like it's probably like 2015-10 in guarantees, splitting it up like that. And the cap is going to increase dramatically next year as well. I don't know what's projected at right now. I think it's somewhere in the 30s already, and that's before any of the moves we'd be doing now. So it is supposed to spike up within
honestly, a year or so. It wouldn't surprise me if Le'Veon doesn't take more than a 3-year contract. And here's why. The CBA expires in, 2021?
Right.
And a guy like Le'Veon's very aware of his market. He's 27 right now. He plays out that contract. 2021 comes around. You have either a lockout or the season's played, and I guarantee you the Players Association is going to be pounding the table for almost fully guaranteed contracts. So, if anything, you're paying Le'Veon 3 years, almost like Kirk Cousins. Not that, obviously, that extent of money, but a short-term contract that is almost fully guaranteed. I think that's what we're probably going to see from Le'Veon. I don't think we're going to see 4 or 5 years with, you know, half of it being guaranteed. Instead, I think it's going to be 3 years, most of it guaranteed. So that might be something to look at. And honestly, the Jaguars are win now right now. Like, your best team is right now with the draft coming up. The pieces that you can
get. And what's so nice is it can get so much better while they're still in this window of opportunity to turn things around. I just wish people realize that it's not going to be that hard. They just have to do the right thing. They can't afford to wait for the 2020 QBs. They can't afford to half swing on a guy like Nick Foles. Like, they can build something. As much, I think I would be fine with Foles, but I would prefer to get a young guy who's cheaper and build more around him to win immediately, which they could do, and then continue to build upon that rather than try and, you know, band-aid their wound and then eventually it'll open up sooner than later. Instead, just, you know, fully heal it and still have a decent opportunity to get back in action.
And
I think like guys Le'Veon like Le'Veon don't be helping.
Guys like Le'Veon don't hit the market just freely. Like, any time. Right. Like, this, we've had to wait, like, 2 years for this to occur with the franchise tags and then him finally sitting out. Guys like Le'Veon do not hit the market with no tenders, trading picks, whatever. So, this is almost like a prime opportunity for any team, but the Jaguars, specifically, because that's what we're talking about, they're our team, to get a generational talent like Le'Veon without having to lose really crucial draft capital.
I totally agree. And then that draft capital can be used
to improve other things. Much more important positions like the quarterback position. So,
That quarterback contract is not crippling whatsoever. And it won't be for at least 3 to 4 years. So you have so much time to try and build around it and win then. And then you extend him and you're probably in a good situation to keep winning at that
point. And the thing is, this defense is really good right now. But also this team in general is really young. You have your left tackle, Cam Robinson, rookie contract. Andrew Norwell, you just extended, but he's, what, 26? You have hopefully a good 4 or 5 more years out of him. Linders, you know, he's good when he plays, but, you know, health has always been an issue, so you kind of have to put an asterisk next to him. You are hopefully drafting your franchise right guard, and you hopefully have your franchise right tackle in Roe Richardson. And then you go out wide, Westbrook, rookie contract. DJ Chark, rookie contract. Marquise Lee, you know, he's kind of in, you don't know how he'll be coming from that leg injury. Flip to the defense, Yannick Ngakoue, he's about to get extended, but rookie contract right now. Inside, Taven Bryan, rookie contract. You'll probably be finding another edge rusher on the outside for him in the near future. Defensive tackles, you can always draft another guy. Miles Jack, rookie contract. Jalen Ramsey, about to get extended, but rookie contract. He's like 22 or 23. AJ Bouye is 27, or will be 26, I think, this year. So he's young. Ronnie Harrison, rookie contract. So this team across the board at all your key starter positions is still young. So you're in win now, but the thing is, this window can stay open for a while because this team contractually and financially can stay together for a long time.
Right.
So I think if I am the Jaguars, I'm pulling the trigger on Le'Veon because I think you can definitely make it work for now and the long term.
I completely agree, but they cannot half-ass at this point. That's the most important thing.
You have to get the Fournette deal out. You have to trade him away for something. Get that little cap savings, I believe, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure you'll still take on dead cap if you trade him. But anyway,
It's not much.
It's not much, but you'd still just need to move it.
Right. I would just move on, you know, at this point in general, if the opportunity comes to get better at the position, like get what you can for him and get immensely better at the position. So we'll see. I wrote my thoughts a while ago. Chris and I both agree here. The Jaguars should go after Le'Veon Bell. Let us know what you think on Twitter by giving us both a follow at @MistoCristofo and @Zach_Goodall, as well as the Locked On Jaguars handle. Now, tweet at us. Tell us what you think. Should the Jaguars go after Le'Veon Bell? Should they not? Did you think that they shouldn't before we talked on this pod and changed your mind once you were done listening? Be sure to let us know. Keep leaving those ratings and reviews on iTunes, those 5-star ratings and reviews, mind you. And we'll catch up with you guys next time when Philip Friday returns on Friday.